Okay, Leah,
Yeah.
in this conversation, we are going to talk all things Pilates, pre
Yeah.
and post natal, and just a general idea, which I think a lot of people probably need to hear about Pilates. I think a lot of people know what Pilates is, and I think from looking at some of your, let's say, Instagram videos,
Yeah.
you say like what people think it is and
Yeah.
what it actually is. So I think
Yeah.
hopefully from everyone listening to this and maybe watching this, they'll gain a bit of clarity, and especially they can relate it to themselves of like, oh, you know what? I
Yeah.
may have got this thing or X, Y, and Z wrong. So
Yeah.
if you want to, let's introduce yourself, give me an idea around who you are
Yeah.
and what you do.
So I'm Leah. 24, no, 25. Turned 25 two Saturdays ago. Year old Pilates instructor in Henley-on-Thames. And that's basically me. I know Andy through F45. He does coaching in the morning, and I do a mat class at F45 on a Wednesday morning. And that's how we know each other. Probably because I'm waffling throughout the whole class and not doing any of the actual work, as I should be. I should be doing squat jumps, and I won't be.
And I think the big thing around all of this is what I've always quite intrigued about is when I did a session with you, I think it was in between classes, and I
Yeah.
was like, yeah, I'll jump into the Pilates.
Oh, I remember.
No worries. And
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, I'm absolutely hanging out. I am sweating out. This is ridiculous. And
Yeah.
it humbled me massively because I
Yeah.
think I had the same thing with yoga, and I was like, eh, okay. And there's different varieties. But when I went to
Yeah.
Pilates, I was like, ah, I get
Yeah.
it.
Yeah. No.
So I think a question to you, first question would be is why Pilates
Yeah.
for you? What was the reasons why you decided to go down that route?
It's like a long, it's not like a long, long story, but I had no intentions to go down Pilates route at all. My mum's a Pilates teacher, and she went in quite conventional route. So she went in because she injured her back. She started doing Pilates and was like, okay, this is life changing. I want to now teach it. And that's how a lot of teachers do get into it, because they've experienced something and then they've experienced how amazing it is and they want to pass that on. I do not come from that at all. Not had an injury, not been pregnant. I'm just only into Pilates. But it basically happened because I did gym a lot, and then lockdown happened, which I think it's coming to like 3 years ago now. So all the gyms closed, couldn't go to the gym. Had no home equipment and not enough space for a gym. Very lucky to have my mum as a Pilates teacher. So she actually ran online classes, and every day I'd do it in the little corner of the video, little Zoom video on the side. She could get your foot out, get your foot out, scuffle over. And I was like, this is actually really good. Like, it's not boring, it's not slow, it's really fun, and it's really hard. And I also saw, I think because it was lockdown and a lot of people had different struggles in lockdown, I think she helped a lot of people through her Pilates. And I was like, do you know what? This actually is life changing. And I think lockdown started in March. And I think we had like, I can't remember. I think I might have trained that year. Oh no, maybe I didn't. I don't know when the thing stopped. I think I trained that year, still in university. And I was like, no, I want to do this now. So I did university degree psychology, which I'm actually really grateful for, because it's really helped, like, how to deal with people and also how to like receive people's behaviors to me. Because sometimes it's not easy being in like the service industry and like customer service. I definitely think it's helped me be able to receive people's like behaviors sometimes. So yeah, that's how I got into Pilates. Basically, my mum's a teacher. During lockdown, I was like, this is actually really good, and it can change people's lives mentally more than anything because it was lockdown. And that's basically how I fell into it. My mum has been a teacher for my entire life, and she was a single mum. So I had no childcare and I had no iPad. So I had to go to her classes and just watch her jump around doing body pump back in the day. So I think I've always had, maybe I like to think this, we both like to think this, that maybe it was always my calling, but we didn't know until we discovered it. But that's basically why I got into Pilates. Really long story, clearly.
I think for a lot of people, right, this is where even my business, it transformed over lockdown. I think it made people think. And I think obviously because you were exposed to Pilates for a very long time, what was the avenue if you didn't decide Pilates, what would it have been?
Was my other aunt? Well, it would have probably been, weirdly enough, it's why, maybe why pre and postnatal came. I would have probably been, wouldn't have done psychology. Don't know why I chose that degree. I was most interested in children's psychology, the most. In although I wouldn't have gone down that direction, I probably would have gone into actually primary school teacher because I adore kids. And I do think teaching is somewhere in my genes. So whether it's teaching kids education or people Pilates or whatever, I think I would have always done teaching somehow. I would have ended up there. But yeah, my other route would have probably been kids orientated.
It's interesting, and I think for a lot of fitness professionals, I think that the purpose, like you said, around having, you said there was a purpose of Pilates. You can see it's actually life changing, and it gives people strength where they never thought it was possible. And I think having, maybe it gives them the ability to do X, Y, and Z, and the freedom to do that. And I think a lot of people, especially with movement, right, when you don't have the ability to move, or move with how you'd like to, it's restrictive, and it's not nice. Not nice to be have that vulnerability and that weakness. Now, the next question is, what can Pilates do for someone? So, if we relate it to, let's say, women. Mums, what could it do for mums?
For mums, depends where you are in your mum journey. Obviously, exercise in general, if you just took exercise, as Pilates is a small little section of that, exercise is massive for physical and mental health, which is obviously a big, big win. But if we just took the little subset of Pilates, there's a lot of support pre and postnatally. And it really hones in on the bits that I think get missed out a little bit with the grand exercise scheme. So like just going to the gym, it's your conventional squats, maybe a deadlift. You probably get on the cables and do a few things, but that's not really honing in on what's inside supporting your body. It's supporting a lot, and it's really good to have strong quads, strong glutes, strong lats, but there are things deeper that have to be worked on for sure. And Pilates is great for women and everyone. I really want men to get into Pilates. They are getting into it slowly, but it is still predominantly a very much women orientated sport.
Do you think it's like in general, like classes in general, is predominantly women?
Yeah, I would
Right.
say I have about, I would say my classes are either almost 100% women or 90% women. And on a good day, I'm probably got about three men in my class, and I'm like, this is amazing. But it is predominantly women. I'm not sure if that's, I mean, I'm not sure. I think sometimes men might perceive Pilates as different, or it might be quite intimidating going into a room full of women by yourself without your partner, and just being suddenly on this machine or on the floor, and you're like, oh, where am I and what am I doing? I suppose the same can happen. Like if I walked into the huge weightlifting section of like a male predominant gym, I'd also feel really like, oh, this is a lot all of a sudden. So I think it would work both ways. But yeah.
Okay, I'm interested now. So let's say for men then.
Yeah.
Why would it, what, let's say, why would Pilates be good for men?
Men. So it would be the same sort of benefits that we experience as women. A lot of professional athletes are starting in America, which is great. So a lot of the NFL players are working with Pilates instructors now because of the dynamic flexibility it gives, increased range of motion, so mobility improvement, which means they can perform their sports usually better. Injury prevention is a huge one, especially if I have a lot of golfers. And it's great for rebalancing the sides because the golf is always swinging the same way. So normally you have quite a dominant side versus the other. So it's quite good for balancing out the body, improving function, mobility. The core strength is huge. And I think core strength always gets left to last. People are like, oh, let's do crunches. That's not quite enough. So the core strength is really big for anyone. But again, for athletes, core strength's impeccable. And dynamic flexibility and all that jazz.
And you know what? I think any guy listening, I don't know what it is, but again, could be a thing of like transition. I'm getting older, being a dad. You think, oh, I'm going to start golf. No idea why. And you just think, oh, but it makes sense. And even the coach in my head, I look at it as, if I'm doing this golf swing, this is a repetitive movement on one side. And I think, like you say, it's training those deep core muscles that no one really talks about.
No
one really understands, right? Cool. Okay, so what has Pilates done for you and why? We know obviously it's given you a bit of a purpose in helping people, like you say, about teaching is something that you really aspire to do, whatever that looks like. What's done for you?
I think on like a physicality level, my boyfriend used to be huge in bodybuilding, and I used to just tag along and go to the gym at university with him. So that was like 3 years of constant gymming. And I must say, I actually would say my physique then and like my mentality about my physique was quite, probably wasn't my best physique, not at all. The mentality around food is quite intense. Like it's quite like a, you eat a lot to gain. For me, that's personally not. And then also you restrict. So it's not a healthy like way to live for me anyway.
Very some people restrictive it is. Bodybuilding lifestyle, right? You're a professional dieter, which is not.
So for me, that didn't work. And I would always think to myself, that person looks better. That person's got bigger quads. That person's got bigger bum. That person has delts, like shoulders. And I'm like, I don't have those things. And then I started Pilates. And I just thought to myself, like, this is obviously where I'm happy with. This is how my body reacts. But we don't all react well to the same things. Like, not everyone's a runner. And I think when I, like, now look in the mirror, and as much as people say physicality is not always a goal, physicality is a goal for me. I also like to know that I like look good. I way prefer how I look now to when I did just the gym. I still gym. I haven't cancelled the gym out. I'm not cancelling the gym at all. I still gym, but it's just the change of goals. And I think the change of mindset, because Pilates does make you feel very strong. I don't know how to describe it. It's like a deep sense of strength versus not a superficial strength, but like at the gym, I was chasing numbers. Like, I've got to do 100. I've got to add 2.5 to this shoulder press next week, which I don't at this time with Pilates, but it's a much deeper sense of strength of like, oh my gosh, I can do a handstand now. And I definitely couldn't do a handstand before. So it comes from like a functionality sense as well. I feel more functional, more mobile. I feel like my longevity of my body is going to be better. And I think goals do change. I think when I was obviously, 21, 22, I probably didn't really care about that. I don't know anyone who maybe does.
Who did?
Yeah, exactly. Zero. It's not the full focus about how long and like longevity of your body and functionality. But now I do really appreciate that. And I think I feel a lot happier about my body now, being like, I can touch my toes. Like, that's actually really cool. And things like that. And then mentally, of course, exercise. It's so good. If I don't exercise, I'm like a little ball of mess.
Yeah. And I think it's really interesting, actually, because like from what you're saying, like if I go back to the experience of what I've done in the past of, like you say, bodybuilding, could be
Yeah.
powerlifting, gymnastics, CrossFit, absolutely everything. And you
Yeah.
look at it and you just think, like you've just said, most people get to an age where they're like, I just want to feel good and I want
Yeah.
to feel strong. And
Yeah.
at the same time, and I think if people would be lying if they didn't want to feel and look good.
Yeah. I
Everyone, right?
massively think it's a thing. Yeah.
Right. And it's having feeling good and comfortable in your own skin where you
Yeah.
can look at yourself in the mirror and actually be like, you know what? I feel good. And I think
Yeah.
for a lot of people, there is always going to be that
Yeah.
comparison of that comparison is a thief of joy. And I think it is a big thing that a lot of people can overcome. But would you agree that because you've kind of transitioned away from that numbers game constantly,
Yeah.
it allowed you to just be a bit of peace with yourself and be
Yeah,
like, there's
exactly.
some other stuff that I could do.
Yeah, it massively. And also just down to the nitty-gritties of the food, it's like I would used to track every ounce of food. And actually, I would track still quite recently, I'd still be tracking. And I suppose that you're always progressing, like every few months, you're always thinking, actually, that's probably not that healthy of a habit for me at the moment. Da, da, da. So I've now stopped tracking, and I do feel much better because tracking can be, not always,
Yeah.
can be an unhealthy mindset for some people. And I do feel I'm constantly progressing to healthier ways for me to like live and experience my life.
I think it's really important to address because I think a lot of people think that there's this amazing way to achieve fat loss, achieve a body composition, achieve
Yeah.
strength, fitness, whatever. And it's like there actually isn't. And it's
Yeah.
making sure that you're, like you've just said, you're identifying the methods that actually work for you and you
Yeah.
alone that make you feel good instead of kind of
Yeah.
aspiring to because that person looks amazing and they've got a fantastic routine, you're like,
Yeah.
oh, I must do it as well, but it's not the
Yeah.
case.
No, everyone's different. Everyone's life, like, schedule's different. So you definitely have to find out what works for you the best. So yeah, I've definitely learned that at the
Which I think for most
age
people are still trying to find it and we're like,
of
flipping out.
25.
Okay, now moving on to your niche. So
Yeah.
niching down to anti postnatal. Why?
Again, like with Pilates, I had no intention of going down that route. I am very young, 25. When I started, I only just turned 25 as well. So when I started Pilates, I actually trained when I was 22 going to be 23. So it's basically 2 years. I was the youngest in my training group. Everyone was not much older, but they were in their 30s. And I was 22. And I feel I did had no intention into going pre and postnatal because I think I went in a year in, I did my training for pre and postnatal. And for anyone, if anyone's a Pilates and teacher listening, a lot of the first year and for all the rest of eternity of years, like there's so much just finding your feet and who you are as a teacher, learning how to teach, learning different bodies and being like, okay, this person experienced this here. So I had no intention of like niching down because I just wanted to like solidify just teaching Pilates first. And then I had a lady come to me. She came to my classes and I was like, okay, well, I can't just willy-nilly teach you here. I need to have some training. So I did a really, really basic training and I taught her and I thought to myself, I don't feel comfortable enough or confident enough to continue to teach this. Like I need more training. So I took a longer training course, and it was a really highly regarded training course and valued for a training course. And I was like, in that training course, I was like, this stuff is insane. Like the stuff like women have to go through from just trying to like conceive to birth and then post birth and then raising a whole child basically for 18 years until they technically become an adult, but then you're still always worrying about them. But I was like, this stuff is insane. This is so cool. This is so awesome. And also, I'm very much of I will just say it, I'm very much of a caring person. And I do love to care for people. And I was like, this is really awesome. So I did that. And then I had one of my ladies who she already has two children. I became very close to her two children. And her mum comes to Pilates and she comes to Pilates. And she came to me right after I'd done that training. And she said, you're the first person I'm telling, but I'm pregnant. And can I come to classes? And I was like, oh my God. I was like, I'm one of the first people outside of the family to know that you're like, that's such an honor. I was like, of course you can come and train. Like, I'm not going to say, sorry, halt your next 9 months and do nothing, but sit and do life. I was like, of course, come. And she was basically my first, she came to me at 12 weeks, my first pregnant lady that I carried all the way through to the end, from the beginning to the end. And I just think there's just so many amazing memories, like just seeing her bump grow, her like me being one of her support systems. Like, is this exercise okay? Like, she felt safe in my care, which I think was a it's a really rewarding feeling to have, that someone feels safe in your care. And then I just had, it was almost like a little domino effect, just more and more people started getting pregnant, and then more people started coming to my classes, and then with that my experiences grew. And I was like, this stuff is, I love this stuff. Like, it's great. And at the end of it, there's a kid, and I love kids. So it's like a win-win. I get to hold a baby by the end of it, and I love that side. And you really make really nice, good friends through it. And one of the ladies, she goes to F45 too. We've become really good friends just through the pregnancy process. So I think it's really magical. But again, I had zero intention ever. If you asked me 2 years ago, you're going to be training mums, I would have been gone, no, I wouldn't. Maybe the occasional one, but that wouldn't be my thing. And now I am here. Literally, that's what I want to do for the rest of my life so far.
Yeah, and you know what? It really resonates with me when you said around you're one of the first people that knew that they were pregnant. And this is something that I've experienced myself. And I think that's such a rewarding feeling because you feel you're trusted, right? And obviously, legally, they need to tell you anyway, but because they say that actually, like, you are sometimes even maybe even earlier than family, right? And yeah, that's amazing. Like you say, you're going through the whole stages of one, you love kids anyway, and you're helping that individual learn about their bodies and how things change and what things the do's and don'ts, but also just giving them the reassurance, like you say, is the safe space, which I think for a lot of people, predominantly women, having that safe space when it comes to their bodies is actually a really nice place to be.
Oh, I totally agree. It's so nice to feel safe. And like, it's like giving someone like a big warm, cuddly hug all the time. It's like, you've come to me for an hour, you're safe, let me give you a hug, teach you Pilates, and then send you on your way. But keep
That.
the
So, question then. The common myth with antenatal.
Yeah.
Talk to me. What would
Gosh.
be the common things that, for anyone, again, antenatal, it's being aware that they are obviously pregnant. That let's call it, I don't know, in terms of phase of from 1 to 12 weeks, first trimester, what would be a common thing that maybe people would be a bit more like, or don't know?
The main thing I would say is it safe to exercise? Which I know we're coming to in the future, but it's my one of my first questions on something I'm creating with my colleague on Instagram. But is it safe to exercise? And basically, yes, it is safe to exercise, but I think it's a very scary thing because the mindset when you're pregnant is it safe for my baby? Am I harming my baby right now by doing XYZ? And then I think postnatally, it's very much like, am I harming myself? Because your baby's out, your baby's like, you can visually hold your baby and see your baby and react to your baby. And it's more about, am I doing the right things for myself postnatally? So in those 1 to 12 weeks, sometimes you might not even know until the 4 week mark or maybe like the 6 week mark. So it's quite likely in that stage you won't have stopped exercising because you might not have known. But maybe in the 6 to 12 week mark, I think it is hard because you might be trying to keep it quiet until you get to the 12 weeks, which is normally the safer zone. So you might be thinking, I'm trying to keep it quiet, which means can feel quite lonely. Like, do I still exercise or should I stop? Etc. If you're exercising beforehand, just continue on through. Exercise is not going to harm your baby. There's zero research that your baby will be harmed from exercise, which I think is a very reassuring thing to hear, as a mum worrying about that. And I think.
How about this then? What about someone who hasn't really exercised before they're pregnant, and then they're like, "Oh, actually, I'd like to make sure I'm fit throughout this pregnancy." What would you advise that person?
I would start, I wouldn't go balls to the wall and start hitting CrossFit 3 times a week.
No, not going that extreme at all. No.
I would ease yourself in like anyone else starting something, but to be aware of what the feelings and sensations you might be looking out for. I would probably, if someone is keeping that they're having a baby quiet until up to 12 weeks, I would just start like low impact walking, half an hour, maybe at home. I'm a big believer in breath work, just 5 minutes focusing on inhale and exhale, and just kind of coming in tune with your body and how your body reacts and feels, and how exhausted you may feel after a half an hour walk. Or maybe that half an hour walk feels pretty good, so maybe you implement it into like 45 minutes. But I think those first 12 weeks, I wouldn't go ham. It would be understanding how your body reacts, because rest and recovery is just as important as the exercise itself.
I'm intrigued you said that, because I think for a lot of people, it's understanding your, in some ways, your pace, your ability, right? And I think I'm intrigued, actually. It's just kind of come to me now. I don't know if there's any studies or data around this. So let's say, for instance, is there anything, or maybe what you may have been taught, when an individual, a mum, a woman, does Pilates, what are the likelihoods of maybe their birth, if there is such a thing that's been studied around their birth? What positives would actually help that woman through that labor?
There are lots of studies and lots of positive studies. Obviously, there's also studies where there's a bit wishy-washy. But that's any scientific study. There's going to be yes, and there's going to be no's, and then there's going to be the in-betweens. That's why I'm also grateful for psychology, because I understood how to read research articles, because that was all about articles. So Pilates can help the pregnant mum a lot in terms of, well, the usual: improve strength, improve fitness, improve mood. But ignoring those, some mums can experience lower back pain, some mums can experience pain around the pelvis, or there's a joint called the sacroiliac joint as well. There's loads of different tight shoulders. The posture changes a lot because you've got a growing bump in front of you, which is obviously going to get heavier and heavier and heavier. And it's also going to basically fill up the space in your tummy. And if you've ever Googled what the body looks like at the end of your pregnancy, you've basically got everything shoved up here and then a whole lot of pressure down below. Like, no wonder we get like breathless by just walking up two stairs. It's like, because there's no room. So the posture, which is an ever-changing posture from through all the trimesters, Pilates is huge on posture. I mean, if you asked anyone on took someone from a random street and you said, what does Pilates do? They'd probably say improve back pain, posture, and core. Because I think that's what it's mostly known for, which is true. It is like those three things are very, very much prominent in the industry. And I think because of the changing posture, it's harder to obviously expand your space in your lungs, which can then change your posture. The bump is growing forward. boobs are growing forward, just the shoulders are rounding forward. And if you already have a kid, you're probably holding that kid forward as well. You don't do much behind you. So a lot of life is forward. So by doing Pilates, opening up and lifting and gentle, correct stretching can help lift and create space, but also there's a lot of strength work into the glutes, into the correct core places, because you're not going to want me to do 60 crunches a day as a pregnant woman. There's a different core to be working.
Yeah.
Not your six-pack core.
Do you want to just quickly touch base on anyone if they're thinking? Because a lot of people won't know this. Obviously, physical fitness training and all that will know what this means.
Yeah.
But as a whole, most people listening to this will not be. So you just want to give like a quick little summary of what core you're actually talking about.
So, yeah, the core I'm talking about is those deeper layers. So I call the six-pack a superficial layer because it has benefits to your body, to your alignment, but it's very much a superficial muscle. And you go a lot deeper to the intrinsic muscles, such as your diaphragm, that's your breathing muscle. Then you have your pelvic floor, which is basically like it's like a giant hammock from front to back, and then also from side to side, like a bowl of support. And then you also have your TVA, which wraps around your spine, and you also have, well, you have loads, you've got your multifidus, which is in your spine, and then you've also got intrinsic obliques, which are also very important for stabilization. You've got a lot, but basically I'm not talking about your six-pack. That's the main thing. I'm talking about the deeper layers there, which we work on a lot.
And do you feel that obviously as a someone doing, let's say, a squat, that we can't specifically isolate a muscle because we know that it, as a whole, the body is working.
But
like you said about deep core muscles are actually very essential, like you say, around posture, core.
Yeah.
And actually, so let's bring it back to like let's say labor and maybe even recovery as well. Because we know that yes, if an individual is exercising prior to getting pregnant, they're more likely that they will I don't know if the right word is say bounce back. So I'm intrigued to know if there might be a different word or use of word of this. Is that more likely that they will actually have a more positive birth?
Yeah.
We know that it could be different, you never know.
Yeah.
But also postpartum as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they definitely can have, it definitely helps towards labor.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the strength, but normally, so I wouldn't take my prenatal client to strength work till all the way through. I would probably start practicing some release work. Because in labor, you actually need to release your pelvic floor to help. So you don't want them going in like lift everything and suck everything in. You actually want to start chilling at that point. So I would start to incorporate, hands, all fours, hands and knees, and just rocking into internal rotation is so nice just to open up the back of the pelvis and just to release. So yes, it does. It can help towards happier, healthy labor, but you can go in with all the birth plans in the entire world and it probably will not happen. Like every birth can be different. You can have the healthiest of pregnancies, you can have exercised until week 40 plus three, and you could go in and need an emergency C-section. Like you just don't know. But if you thought of an ideal situation, it can help potentially through labor. Postnatally, massive, massive help for the recovery, and mainly in pelvic floor strength. If you start your pelvic floor exercises throughout, and it will help throughout the pregnancy, but also postnatally, it really will help a lot of other things postnatally as well, which is awesome.
Do you think that's what a lot of women miss?
I think all of us don't train our pelvic floor until something goes wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that's normal, I think. I think I'm not going to think about stretching my hamstrings until maybe I no longer can touch my toes or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very normal mind process. But with the pelvic floor, definitely want to train it from day dot.
With that, obviously, so I remember when I did my interpostnatal course as a PT,
Yeah.
and they said men need to do pelvic floor as well.
Yeah.
When you say this to, I don't know, a male client, have you ever had that conversation before about
I harass my other
that?
I harass my other half about doing Pilates 24/7. So he probably heard me natter on about he should be doing pelvic floor, but he's never done it. He blames his desk chair for his posture. I'm like, okay, you can do Pilates with me. And he's like, yeah, or I can just get a good new desk chair. I'm like, sure, why not? He'll come to me when he's injured.
Oh, and you know what? I think this is always a way. It's always reactive, but we don't think about preventative. We think
No.
if we focus on that, let's say boring preventative way of thinking,
Yeah.
you'd save so much time and effort in your life. But
Yeah.
that's not human, right? We don't think of that. It's not logical at
No,
all.
absolutely.
Okay, so common mistakes. We've obviously touched on a bit of pelvic floor.
Yeah.
Common mistake for women postpartum, they've had their baby. I'll kind of plant the seed with this a little bit. In my experience, I've seen a few options where mums go down. They either, I want to get back into it straight away and maybe a
Yeah.
little bit too early.
Yeah.
The risk of, let's say, postnatal depression, they go
Yeah.
into loss of lack of identity
Yeah.
and they go down a route of it could take months, maybe even years to get back into it, or
Yeah.
maybe one in between. Could you
Yeah.
just kind of, what are the mistakes of women postpartum, what you have seen ex and experienced, and what you've heard as well?
Yeah, it's definitely hard because I was going way back when you asked me about someone who's not ever exercised but wants to during their pregnancy. You've also got the other hand, like someone who's like an elite marathon runner, and they're like, God, I need to slow the heck down. So you've got the other side as well, because the people that have never started are like, okay, you build up slowly. And the people that are like, I don't know, run 10K a day, 7 days a week, they need to bring it right down and realize that actually being more in tune and being maybe less, what would be the right word? I don't want to say aggressive, but like less aggressive in their fitness regime they have. But that's really hard because for them mentally, they function at that high
Yeah,
intensity.
they feel like they're regressing.
Yeah, exactly. So that can be really hard. So going postnatally, I mean, everyone's postnatal journey will be different, but there is I starting slow is better. If I was the 10K runner, you probably want to get back and be like, I want to get my shoes on and run. But I would probably say gradual, slow will get you to your 10K run sooner than just hitting 10K after your 6 week check. Most likely, they probably won't want to do 10K after their 6 week six week check. But in just like as an example, I would definitely slow down. And the boring stuff is the good stuff. So like the breathing work
Always is.
is the good stuff. The pelvic floor work is the good stuff. Gentle neck stretches or some cat cow is like, although it probably seems so boring, so slow, it's like that's where the magic happens. And that's where you can then have your magic sooner because you've stuck with those slow things first. But then if someone who can't exercise and doesn't feel ready to exercise, again, just some gentle breathing is enough to stimulate your body. Until you're ready. And then when you do start, it's obviously just being mindful of what pressures feel like, what your postnatal check is like. I mean, sometimes the doctor will just do it. Sometimes they might go to a women's physio, which is great. Big thumbs up to women's physios. But yeah, just being wary of how your body is in what stage it is postnatally, and then being watching out for the warning signs. in the stages that you decide to start exercising again. But there are lot, there not lots of mistakes, but there's like a, I think there's a lot, it's a very fearful time from week zero to like until the baby's two, depending whenever you start to exercise again. It's so fearful. First, like, is the baby safe? And then two, is like my body safe? So like most women, well, 100% of women will get diastasis recti, which is, if anyone's listening, it's basically the gap between your six-pack muscles, your linear Elbert splits, and that's really fit. I think there's a lack of like accessible knowledge about how to understand those things. That's why I think going to a health professional that knows and is trained is really important, because they can help you feel like, no, this is fine. We can progress here. Or actually, that's progressing too fast. You need to bring it back down. And I think that's one of the wisest steps, is to go to someone like a women's health physio, Pilates teacher, PT like yourself, that knows their stuff, because they can help you monitor where you might feel unsure.
And I think this is something that's really, I think most women do need to appreciate that they probably don't, they will not know. And going to a professional, like if we were sick, go, we know that if we Google it, oh my God, it's gonna be the worst thing, right?
Literally
Unless,
tell me that, because I
oh
get a headache
God.
and I get a headache and I'm like,
Google
I've had a headache 4 days in a
it,
row
oh my
now.
God. But this
What's
is it,
happened?
right? So I think this is where, and I've seen it, I've seen very high-end athletes come think that they're going to bounce back and they don't. And the expectation they have on themselves, but because they went too quick, they actually regressed further and actually stalled their recovery and actually had it obviously issues. And I think that's a really, really important thing. I think so many women, and what you've said is around like this analogy around a hug, of having a support system and actually investing in that support system, because that, oh yeah, oh no, I don't know if I can afford this, I can't X, Y, and it's like, if you do this now, that will give you the education that you need, even potentially for the ne potential next one if they have another child. And
Exactly.
I'm really pleased you said that, because
Yeah.
I do think, I think recently, and I think only, I'm talking probably post COVID, people are
Yeah.
becoming more health conscious
Oh,
and more
yeah.
aware, right, of
Yeah.
actually I need to do something about this.
Yeah.
So you touched on this about your the pregnancy notebook.
Yeah.
Do you want to give a little pitch to everyone listening to this as well? Because I feel like this is something which is refreshing to hear about, and I think
Yeah.
needs to be out there.
Yeah. So the pregnancy notebook, oh God, I'm not very good at sales pitches. Didn't
Just
do
talk about this
business,
one.
didn't do sales, didn't do marketing. It's based, so I have a colleague, so I work at New Body Pilates in Henley. Co-own it with my mum, but my mum's the big boss. And we have teachers under us, and we have one of our teachers, her name is Lizzie, and she's a fantastic Pilates teacher in general. But she has a shared passion with me about pre and postnatal, and she actually helped me a lot in, she was almost like my little notebook in the beginning days, because she had, I think she had more experience on me when I first trained, and she still does, because obviously I trained after her. But we have a shared passion for pre and postnatal and correct information, correct accessible information, because it's really, really hard. And like you said, with Google, we know the tendency with Google, you never quite know. Like Wikipedia, is Wikipedia right? You don't know, really. So it's nice to know that you've got two teachers behind it with a passion pre and postnatal, both highly qualified in pre and postnatal as well, with experience. And basically what we've done is we've created this notebook, and we're going to take it through trimester one, trimester two, three, and then trimester like four, but basically postnatal. And just collate all our questions we've ever had from a client, or from a person on Instagram being like, is it safe to exercise? Can I lie on my tummy? When do I stop lying on my back? I'm sweating a lot. Is that okay? All this jazz, my hormones, my skin, blah, blah, blah. And I wouldn't say there's like, I don't want to say there's a gap because there's some sensational pre and postnatal specialists out there. And I've got quite a few books who they've written them. And there's a lot of pelvic floor specialists, a lot of women health physios that have really built like a big community on Facebook. God, sorry, Instagram.
God, get it right. God,
God 25 and mentioning Facebook. What am I doing on Instagram? But they don't cover necessarily the direct questions from A to Z. So like one book is incredible, but it gives workouts as well. And then there's another book which takes a bit more on, they take on a different approach. They do a very much postnatal approach. So there's no like significant A to Z book, as they say, but this is an Instagram book. So basically we're going to put all our questions together. It's going to be a long old series because they're on trimester one, question one at the moment. And I think trimester one's got 14 questions in it already. So it's going to be a long series, but I think it's going to be a really nice way for mums to be, or mums that have had their babies can refer back to and be like, oh, yeah, it is good. Oh, this is why I'm feeling this. Or, okay, maybe I shouldn't be feeling that. Maybe I'll regress it here. Or maybe I'll ask for a Pilates class and go over it or something like that. So I'm hoping it's going to be a little dictionary of knowledge, basically. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I think having something like as a reference point for everyone, it's,
yeah,
like you say, it's the correct information. I think this is where, coming from like an evidence-based background, you look at the information that is, let's just call it the fitness industry, it's a load of dog shite. There is so much out there, and you're like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, God. And I'm guessing as well for Pilates, and people think Pilates is, like including myself, I thought, okay, well, yeah, it's this. And then I'm like, no, it's not. This, actually this.
It's this,
Yeah, I'm really intrigued to, one, you release that. I think so many women will benefit. I think because of the fear around so many areas. And I, again, when it comes to things like nutrition, so many women are scared of X, Y, and Z. And again, there is information out there on a specific area, but it's really nice to hear that you're going from A to Z.
Yeah.
And I think that gives them an insightful, well, like you say, it's the virtual hug that they need to be like, actually,
exactly,
you'll be okay.
Yeah. Which I think is the biggest worry. I think, everyone is like, is it okay? Am I all right? Is the baby okay? Am I doing it correctly? I think it is. It's nice to have that support because also I think COVID slowed down a lot. The pace of life slowed down because we literally couldn't do anything else. We couldn't work and shop freely and go grab a coffee. And I feel, I've chatted with my clients all the time about this, like the year after COVID, it was kind of like still quite gradual. And now it's reached like 2-3 years. I feel like life is double amplified from life before COVID. Like it's insanely busy. And I think when that happens, there's less of a support structure sometimes because, I don't know, person A is out working 9 to 5 and then travels home from London every night. There's less of a support sometimes, not all the time. But that can be really hard. So that's why I think it's such a nice place to be in, to be able to offer just over social media, like that little bit of comfort and support of, oh, you know what? I'm actually all right. So also, you can't just call your midwife as well. It's harder unless you have the luxury of a private midwife or a private doula or something. You don't have the luxury of just calling Sally from wherever.
Yeah.
So it's nice to know, hopefully, although I'm not a midwife, I'm not a doctor, and I'm not a women's health physio, you will have that little pocket of information that can support you.
And I think I had this conversation actually before around a woman's physio, especially
Yeah.
postnatal,
Yeah.
they're rare to find. They're hard to come by, and also invaluable to have. I think even if so, information that you have around that, I'll hit it up on the information on here, because
Yeah.
having, like you say, the support system of professionals that know what they're talking
Yeah.
about, that you can refer to. And I always look at, and I always say to people online, it's like, look at one cook, listen to one cook instead of many.
Yeah.
Because if
Yeah.
you do that, you're gaining that clarity of building that trust in that individual.
Yeah.
Pilates, gaining trust in you and
Yeah.
understand, like, okay, I'm going to listen to Leah about this.
Yeah.
I'm just as I need I don't why do I need to overcomplicate with other people
Yeah.
around this topic? And like
Yeah.
you say, physio, that, and then once you get to that point, I think it becomes a little bit like you say, more freeing and more reassuring that you're going the right
Yeah.
direction.
No, absolutely.
Okay, now let's talk maybe one part around what's the most common weakness in women on a daily basis,
Yeah.
in their bodies, and how could they improve them? I think we've kind of touched on maybe the pelvic floor. Is that such a thing? Is that the thing that we need to be addressing, especially for women?
Do you know, it's tricky to say, because I just mentioned now about how a pregnant woman should be doing her pelvic floor exercises. But then I'm not doing my pelvic floor exercises, but I'm not holding a baby in my uterus. So it's different for everyone,
Yeah.
basically. The pelvic floor is essential for, a happy pelvic floor during your pregnancy, because you've got your baby pushing that weight down onto
Yeah.
your pelvic floor, which can lead to leaking and pressure and pain and lots of things. And then obviously postnatally, the same things can happen, leaking, etc. But I'm not doing my pelvic floor exercise. I mean, I do them when I do my classes. I do myself, but I'm not sitting at home doing the squeezy app every day. And the squeezy app, if there are mums listening, it's a very good pelvic floor NHS app, which basically gives you your exercises, so it's really handy. But I'm not at home doing that. So I suppose it's dependent on the person. I'd 100% say if you're pregnant, do them. And obviously, if you're experiencing something that's related to maybe possibly your pelvic floor, then obviously you're going to do them. But I'm not there doing my pelvic floor exercises. I would say, to answer your question, it would be having self-belief and self-confidence. I think that's a really big thing. Having confidence that, you are doing the right thing. Like, you're going to be a mum. You're going to be a great mum, probably amazing mum. So you have confidence that you are doing the right thing. And your instinct will tell you, your gut will tell you. In times where you're like, I just don't know, like, your gut will be saying, I think maybe you're panicking over nothing. Or your gut will be like, no, maybe let's call the doctor today. And I think I'm a big believer in that. Your gut will definitely tell you if something's wrong, for sure. But having self-belief, self-confidence, I think is really important, because I think that's something, maybe I'm just generalizing because of me, but I think a lot of people do suffer maybe with self-confidence and self-belief.
I think, and again, it's purely from my experience as well. I think it's a quite common. And if we did have to generalize, I do think you've hit the nail on the head with that. I think because of
Yeah.
the confidence, the limiting beliefs, the lack of belief that they can do something,
Yeah.
I think sometimes it's because we have too much information. And
Yeah.
that's why I say
Yeah.
if you can focus yourself on one cook in a
Yeah.
specific area and just have that tunnel vision to have that valid information, the most up-to-date information, then that's the best thing you can do, instead of, I don't know, we all know, like, looking at those hacks, or look at this
Yeah.
hack to, I don't know, improve your core, or you need to do this to, and you're like, all that's doing is confusing people even more. Whereas it's
Yeah.
like, and again, it's referring back to, okay, well, what would Leah do? What would
Yeah.
she do? Okay, well, she's not
Yeah.
doing that, so I'm going to dismiss that.
Yeah.
And I think
Yeah.
that's something to for everyone listening and watching to this is really ask yourself, where are you getting your information from?
Yeah.
And are they explaining to you why? Because if they
Yeah.
can't explain why,
Oh,
bye.
massively. Yeah. If you can't give the why to what you're saying, then not good. No.
And I wanted to finish on this because I think we've kind of covered this around being actually a professional and having an element of authority around that and having the respect of being actually the reason why I'm a professional is because I've studied. So I can explain to you why. Anyone can teach a Pilates class. Anyone can be a PT. They do a bit of information, but that doesn't mean shit unless they can explain and justify why. And that's the thing of actually giving a comparison of like a level two PT or level fitness instructor to a PT. A PT, and when you specialize, like Pilates as well, you understand the reasons why you're doing things. So, okay, to finish off today's, honestly, I've learned a hell of a lot from what
Got
you
it.
said.
That's good because I feel like I just
It,
ramble.
but
I literally just go.
even but even people listening to this, right? They're going to be like, "Wow, you know what? I didn't know this." Because we think, "Oh, I know it." Like, "Oh, everyone should know this because we know it." But most people had this conversation with my accountant, and I was like, "I'm not like money, financial savvy, literate." And he's like, "Oh, it's easy." And I'm like, "But if we compared that to things like Pilates, nutrition, exercise, most people don't know." So, like you say, creating this notebook is I'm really intrigued. I'm really intrigued. Like, take my money, basically. I honestly, I'm like,
I hope it goes well.
teach.
Maybe one day it will be a paperless book. Paperback book. It's already a paperless book. It's on Instagram.
I think it will be. I think we say like manifesting and all that, but I think when someone has a true purpose, like you've just said, around like having this purpose around helping women pre and post and giving them the right information, it just gives you a sense of purpose that you've given that the relevant information for them to have at the best possible experience. And I think that's something, especially as a dad, because I think there is definitely a market for that as well, of educating men around the woman's body, around how it develops through all trimesters and especially the fourth trimester. Because if you don't have the relevant information, how are you going to understand it? Is there anything, and I'm intrigued, I'm still getting a hang of this podcast scenario. And this what I'm going to do with it. But I wanted to ask you a question. What was the biggest thing that you've taken away from this conversation that could help benefit anyone else listening to this? What's the biggest thing you've taken away from what we've had a chat about?
I do agree with your why statement. I always think that to myself if I hear. Because you're so true. Sometimes I'll have a lady come to me and she'll say, "Someone said not to do this." And I will say, "But why?" And then they'll be like, "What? Not sure." And I'm like, "Does it cause you pain? Is it causing you discomfort? Is it causing this? Is it causing that?" And if they say no, I'm like, "Well, then you can do it." There's a lot more do's with pregnancy than there is don'ts. But I think it comes from a place of care in most people. They go overcautious and they go, "Let's not do this, let's not do that, let's not do this, let's not do that." And it comes from a good place. It definitely does not come from a bad place. It comes from a place where they obviously wanting to protect you. But I think that can cause more fear, more unsureness. I don't know if that's a word. And it can become a bit overwhelming because, like, oh gosh, so I can only do squats for the next 9 months? Like, really? And no, there's a lot of things you can do. The things I would just say no to is lying on your back flat after 16 weeks. So it's going to be uncomfortable. There's a big science behind it, but it's basically going to be uncomfortable. You're not going to feel very healthy. You're not going to feel very well in yourself. You'll feel a bit nauseous. Nothing more bad will happen if you wake up in the night on your back, though. Just roll on over. Nothing's actually going to happen. It'll just you will feel uncomfortable. Obviously be wary of bumping your bump. And then high altitude and scuba diving and things like that. But there's not many, unless it's causing you pain, like if a something, I don't even, can't even think of an exercise now. If something's causing you pain and discomfort, that's when you say, okay, that's not the exercise for me. But most of the time, you can do it. A pregnant lady can do a lot, and she should do a lot because she's on like the biggest marathon of her life. So we don't want to feel like we limit her only to 10 squats a day with then, I don't know, 10 bicep curls. Like, let's get her body moving as long as it's safely, correctly, and under control, not going crazy. But yeah, I think, and I liked your point on listening to one person, or just knowing where your information is coming from, because obviously that's always going to give you that support and that hug, is knowing that I feel safe with this person, and someone else might feel safe with another person. Not every mum is going to come to me and be like, yeah, she's the lady I want to work with, because it's like hairdressers. My mum and I have different hairdressers. And it's you're just going to find you'll find your people, the people that like your stuff and the way that you articulate it, and other people will find someone else and they'll say, I prefer the way that they approach it. And that's fine. Neither's wrong or right. As long as both people have training and are aware, then it's up person dependent.
And I'm really pleased you kind of finished on that, because when it comes to things, again, evidence-based and anything that is obviously, as a professional, when it goes through a process of a course, it has to be there has to be an element of evidence-based information that is tried and tested, right? And I cannot stress that enough for everyone. Like, it is important to have that information there and know that. Now, I think everything that you've said today, and I really do hope everyone on here is listening to, has really taken away a lot from you. And just to kind of give everyone obviously listening, I will introduce or add this into the description, but where can everyone find you? We obviously spoke about the Facebook that not everyone really uses, but where can we find you on Instagram? What is the handle?
Gosh,
Go
I
for
need to
it.
check my handle now. Bear with.
I'm looking at
It's
this
my
now.
name.
Yeah, I think it's your name. It's your name.
It's
It's your name.
Leah. Yeah, it's Leah Frankish. So my Instagram handle is Leah Frankish. It's pretty cute Instagram. It's just basically Pilates and then my dog. And then you can also find me at F45 on Wednesday's 8 a.m., which is a mat class only, and I accept all levels and all pre and post rehabs, etc. I accept everyone. And then you can also find me at my main place, which is what I co-own with my mum, and that's New Body Pilates. And I work, that's reformer class only. So if anyone's listening and just knows mat Pilates, reformer is basically a moving machine with springs, which adds resistance, which can aid or assist, or challenge, sorry. And then I'm there Monday to Sunday. I do advanced, intermediate, beginner. I do pre and postnatal rehab, private. You can basically find me there. Majority of my life is there, or
Amazing.
at home watching Bake Off.
Well, I think honestly, I really do appreciate your time talking around this, and hopefully everyone listening to this has kind of opened their eyes to the bigger picture, where one, they need to make sure they download your pregnancy notebook. That will give them a bit of clarity around this. And I do think it's something that will really go far. I don't know, I have a feeling, and my gut feeling with a lot of things when I look at things like this do well, because when someone has a true intention to do well and help other people, they're going to go far, because they know that they can help people and get results. And I think when it comes to things like results, as long as people get the result and they truly think, wow, you know what, I've stuck to this is actually really quite enjoyable to look at, because like you gave the visual of the A to Z way of thinking towards this. Even me listening to that, I'm like, I'm sold. tell me what I need to do, and let me have a look at it.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to see it and see how things grow. And
Yeah.
that was it. I think I need you on again, because I think it'd be a fantastic thing to talk around exercise, the myths around it, and also just to give people
Yeah.
a bit of a, again, building this, the, I think this is what I was going to try and say, and I actually lost tangent. This is a thing, like it was me this time, right? I'm
Yeah.
surprised we even got here.
Honestly, I feel sorry for everyone that's listened to me because they're just probably thinking, Andy asked this and Leah gave this and then
No,
somehow got there in the
on
end. Oh
I think it's like you
dear.
say, it's building this circle of trust,
Yeah.
from professionals that actually know their shit, and
Yeah.
also will give the relevant information. Like you say, it's, if you have this, these types of people that, one, everyone says the same thing, but if they can communicate it in a way that you understand, because I say
Yeah.
this to all my clients as well. Sometimes if I say
Yeah.
this to this individual, I'm saying, right, I'm going to get a member to say exactly the same thing to you, and you're going to understand it, because it could
Yeah.
just be a communication barrier. And I
Yeah.
think that's something to also remember. And hopefully, like you say, it's finding your tribe of people that truly
Yeah.
understand where you're coming from. So thank you for
Well, thank you for having me.
honestly. Yeah, well,
That was amazing.
I think we'll do some more. I definitely do
Yeah.
feel like I don't feel we're finished here at all with what we're having.
Yeah.
So thank you
Well,
so
thank you so
much.
much.